It's the Exit 52 podcast, instant analysis for the series against the Kansas City Royals in Kansas City. Baltimore Orioles emerging 2-1. We are brought to you by Jimmy's Famous Seafood. My name is Jake Luke, and I'm joined on my screen, coming out of the bullpen here today for his first series instant analysis of the year. It's Banksy Boy. How are we doing?
I'm doing great. Nice little series win. Win the rubber match. I'm sure we'll dig real deep into that. A shutty. Not too many of those. I mean, that's not usually Orioles baseball, at least not in the modern age. But I think we expected to see a few this year, and maybe not one from a start from Cole Irvin. So maybe that's a good place to dive in.
Yeah, in a series that included Dean Kramer starting it off, which, you know, that could be a take it or leave it. But Dean has, you know, Dean can take it deep sometimes. And then obviously Corbin Burns right after that. Yeah, you might have expected it to come from those guys, but as Kyle Kramer comments, the Irvin was swerving today, and boy was he went about six innings. I don't have it in front of me exactly, as I pull it up right here.
Let's see, six and two thirds, four hits, two walks, two K's on 93 pitches, gets that ERA into the mid fours after a little bit of a rocky start. So, just a well-timed start, especially after the disaster out of the bullpen on Saturday. So really picked the guys up in a big way. Exactly what the doctor ordered. I mean, they faced a pitcher that had been going pretty well. Seth Lugo had only given up three runs and four starts to start the season here. Roughed him up, nine hits, five and one third. Got him out of the game. Obviously, the back-to-back solo shots was delicious, to say the least. Moist, some would say. Really, really was begging for that one by Westy to get in the drink.
Would have been funny with Cowser's antics with that, with Craig Kimbrell the other night, kind of backwards lobbing one in there, which obviously we'll get to that too. But yeah, Swerve and Irvin staying with him. I mean, you know, like you said, it was just kind of exactly what the doctor ordered. Needed some stability within this pitching staff after, like you said, the carnival of errors that went down with the bullpen the other night that nearly cost them. I just needed a guy to go out there and just put together a quality start like this. I, you know, the question really became like, man, is Hyde taking him out a little bit too early? I saw that raised on Twitter as a former player. What do you think about that?
I never like guys taking their starters out, and I don't like starters who like coming out. I like the guys to be dogs, but there is a little bit of a degree of like, hey, Cole Irvin's not your top guy. Ride him as far as you can take him. But at the same time, I don't know. Like, he's a guy that if a couple guys get on and he leaves a changeup out over the plate, you know, quickly it's a game again with a bullpen behind him that I think you don't trust too much. So, I don't know. 93 pitches. Maybe it was early, but all's well that ends well. The guy's got it done.
Yeah, and it's still, you know, it was still 4-0 when they took him out. So that's, you know, kind of conceivably within reach once you get past that five. You know, that five numbers where you start to feel safe, and eventually they would get there. But yeah, Jacob Webb comes in, I think, right after him. Not a great performance from him. Felt a little shaky. He gets replaced by Kulum. You know, he probably didn't have his best stuff either, but, you know, it was fine. It worked out for them. And then kind of closed things out here with Dylan Tate. There might have been one other guy in there. Correct me if I'm missing anyone.
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah, so there you go. Three guys in, three guys out. No real worries here. This one kind of felt in control from the moment those two home runs were shot out. I don't know how close you were following this one. I was listening to the first half, streaming it over, you know, getting some work in at the driving range. I actually saw Spenny at Fox Hollow, watched him tee off just a mammoth of a slice out into the driving range. So tough stuff there for a guy. He's probably wrapping up right about now as we speak. Like I said, listened to the first half for the most part. So didn't get to see on screen the Westberg and Cowser back-to-back home runs, but it just continues to underscore this point. Of the fact that this Orioles lineup has, you know, they can hit for power and they can get on base at just about any spot in it. And it's funny because that sort of leads us into the conversation of yesterday's lineup where, man, you want to talk about punt lineups and all that kind of stuff and how maybe we aren't really going to have punt lineups like we quite used to, especially not in comparison to last year. Man, it looked like if you were going to have one this year, that would have been it. And what do? They go out there. I think all within the second inning, they put up seven runs, just blooping the shit out of the Royals, just roiling the Royals to death. So that was really, you know, quite something to see. But, you know, in comparison to today, this one felt a little bit more in control, a little bit more of a consistent performance to me.
I think they hit those balls pretty hard. I mean, there was a hard hit out by Hayes there that moved the guy from second to third. And I was like, okay, maybe we get a couple in this inning. And then
they hit them hard, but were, you know what I'm saying. There
were a lot of two-strike swings, two-strike doubles. It was a double city out there. But, I mean, when you have the first five guys in the lineup all have multiple hits, like, you're probably not going to lose that day. So those guys absolutely raked. I mean, that wasn't necessarily the punt piece. It's the punt pieces, your Urias, McCann, Mateo at the back end. And they each had a hit.
I think Hayes was in the mix too, wasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, he was hitting six. So the way he's hitting, if he's in your six hole, like, but you know, he was able to put one across the board. Just the way this lineup can hit up and down the lineup. I mean, I'm just looking at the box score. Yeah, every single starter got a hit in that game. Hard to lose those. It's just the relentless thing. I feel like we've talked about it a bunch of times. There's just no breather. Even when we put a lineup like this out there, like, they're just good at bats, hitting balls hard. And then you're just bound to run into a few home runs like we did today. I mean, it's all it really took was the two solo shots, and it's like, oh geez, like, it's just, there's just no easy way out. There's no room for error with this lineup. So,
yeah. And it kind of brings us to another point that Kyle Kramer brings up, which we have to touch on from today. Little Jackie Holliday, his struggles really continuing here. And I, you know, he makes the point that he had some bad luck. I would tend to agree. I think he's gotten some bad calls. I think he's putting some good at bats together, and really the swing is looking pretty good. I just feel like he's maybe spazzing out a little bit, and he's trying to swing at junk. And then, like, you know, when the perfect pitch is there, he's just not even making an attempt, like today when he struck out looking in that high leverage spot.
Yeah. Yeah. It just seems like his approach is off. That was seemed to be the diagnosis that I was seeing the first 20 at bats or so, is he was just down 0-2 and seems like every single count. And I can't say I saw all his at bats today, but he got up 2-0 on one, and then probably felt like, wow, I'm up in the count here. I really need to capitalize because I had produced virtually nothing so far. And then he rolls over a ground ball to the right side. Just not a great swing. I mean, the pitch was hittable, sure, but I don't know if I would have minded him just seeing another pitch there and just kind of letting himself get deep into a count and work from there. He probably isn't, he's got too many thoughts. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. He probably needs to get into a mode where he's just reacting and not thinking. So it's hard to do that, especially first time up and you haven't really proven yourself at the big league level. I like the way that they've kind of pulled him out a couple times and put him back in. It's the, they're not just like completely leaving him out there on the deep end, but they are giving him enough chances here to start to turn something around, and it's going to happen at some point. So I guess the question is how many more times do you kind of pull him back out and drop him back in before you just kind of say, hey, like, something's got to give here.
What do you do with the golf swing when it's just not clicking? Because for me, I had this thought, and obviously it's not really comparable. Yeah, that's part of it, and he's too young to do that. So but it's like, you know, I feel like I was having this talk with the guys the other day. I haven't talked about it on the podcast yet, but it's like, sometimes when I'm really struggling with it, I'm just like, hey, on this next one, how about you just hit the fucking ball? Like, just get it in the air and see what happens. Just keep your head down and just get through the ball and see what happens. I don't know. Like, it's obviously way harder in baseball. Like, hitting a major league pitch, no matter what pitch it is way harder than hitting a stationary golf ball as a fucking 20 handicapper like myself. But I don't know. Like, for him, I just feel like something needs to be simplified. Somebody's got to sit him down and just be like, hey, man, like, you're way overthinking this. Here's maybe go to somebody who's had a struggle, like Adley. You know, he struggled out the gate. He was like 5-for-26 at one point as a rookie. Like, have him sit him down and say, hey, man, here's what I did. Here's how I got out of this. And they probably already are doing that, but that's just kind of where my mind goes.
Yeah, I can't imagine they're not doing that. And it's one of those things, too, where I bet everyone is kind of taking their turn talking to him, where at a certain point it gets a little old, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, geez, here's another guy. Like, I fucking know, I'm just not hitting the ball. So it's probably just like, go back to basics, do some tee work, and then just try to focus on hitting the ball back up the box. Just try to take the pitcher's head off. Like, don't try to think about, oh, we got a defensive alignment here or situational hitting. Just see ball, hit ball. See, I mean, it's simpler than it sounds like, but I don't know. It's It's one of those things. Yeah, you just start to talk to the kid too much, and then he probably gets in his own head even more. So
yeah, I don't know if you just gotta let him. Right. Yeah. It's simpler than it sounds, but it also, like, at a certain point, he's probably just making it more complicated than it is. So it's like it's a really delicate balance and not a great spot that they're in with him, sadly. I mean, do we have to talk about it? Like, is there a time limit here? Like, what do you think?
I know, like, one for what, 33 or 34 at this point?
Yeah.
Like, you can't really let him get past one for 50, right? Like,
I mean, that's Chris Davis territory. Like,
I know.
Not to bring you down, you know, it's your guy, but.
I mean, if we didn't have COVID, he would have, I mean, he's probably still swinging out there. But
true, yeah. Living up to that
contract. It's old. It's just, that's an old conversation. But yeah, I don't know. Is it even more demoralizing to get sent back down once you get to that one for 50, or is it really something that's going to turn it around for him? And at a certain point, like, the lineup is picking him up in such a way where we can afford to have him go through these bumps and bruises. But I mean, looking at the schedule, you get to a 4-game series against New York. It's like, can you really afford to put him out there and accept the current performance?
Yeah. I mean, they're so good. They're so good.
Figure that out.
They're so good top to bottom. They can afford to weather it, definitely, for the time being. And also, like, where my mind goes is, like, what more can he do in AAA? Like, I mean, he just dominated AAA every time he was up at the plate. He just, you know, was raking. And I don't know, sending him back down there to, like, quote unquote, build up confidence sounds great, but, like, I don't know. What if he gets back here and it's just still not clicking? And it seems like kind of a can of worms that I'm not sure that they want to open. And, you know, people were already criticizing them and saying they waited too long to bring him up anyway. So it's a little bit of a shitstorm they're in with him.
The simplest solution is to just ride it out, it seems like. And it's probably the best way to go about it. And something's going to give here eventually. So.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, totally agree. Yeah. So we can, I guess, go back to Saturday's game, which was the 9-7 victory that was with Mr. Corbin Burnes on the bump, who had another great outing, 5 2/3, 4 hits, 3 earned runs on one, you know, home run that he gave up, which was very late in his start. He probably could have even been out by that point, allowed one walk as well, but overall a very solid showing from him. And it's funny, you know, in a game where you win 9-7, it almost felt like he didn't necessarily get enough run support, but it wound up being one of those games where they really had to scrap and claw and fight for it. And that's sort of the other issue that I guess we can talk about here is, you know, what's the deal with this bullpen? What can they do to fix it?
Like, when it's up and down, the bullpen, guys just can't throw strikes. I mean, you got a stretch there where Ramirez and Cano back to back came in for 25 pitches and threw a collective 11 strikes. It's just not going to do it. Two walks against two outs. They each gave up a hit. Cano gave up two. It's just, especially Ramirez coming in. I guess this isn't even in that stat line, just hitting a guy in the foot. What was that first pitch that he came in? Yeah. That's one of those things, a little bit of who's our buddy that went to the Mets this year? Ironically.
Oh, Fuji.
Fuji, yeah. Just like one of those things where it's like you see a first pitch and it's like, oh, this is going to be something here.
You just know right out of the gate, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And it seems like Johan Ramirez is a guy who's battling to kind of keep his career. And I texted you guys, like, it feels like this might be the last time this guy sees a major league mound. Cano, I mean, you look up and down the rest of the bullpen here that came in behind him, and like, Cano's supposed to be one of your guys, one of your mainstays, one of the people that, you know, clean up those messes, and he didn't really do that very well. And I mean, I guess Aiken came in and closed the door. And
I'll defend Cano a little bit. He had like zero warm up, and he had to go out there and do a shitstorm.
Fair point.
One earned run, 2 hits. I mean, you know, a couple loud hits there, and you know, he lets the run in, obviously, but it could have been way, way worse. So I don't know. And he struck the last guy out too, and did the stance. That's always a plus in my book.
It's always, yeah, no, that's a big rebound there. But at the same time, like, I mean, just looking in this box score, like, nobody made it through an entire inning. I get that you come in mid inning and you close out an inning. That's a nice thing to do. But who are you trusting right now in the bullpen?
It's Uncle Craig. That's it.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah. Danny Kloon too, but I mean,
yeah, he's solid.
Moments. Yeah. Earned run today. Yeah. Mike Bauman, I mean, got a shout out to him too. He was not puttering and billing out there. He came in for three throws, three strikes just about, and he got him. God damn, I was worried he was going to be throwing a bunch of junk to the outside, just trying to nibble his way out of that thing, but he went right at him. I was impressed.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be nice to get Perez back and see if he can be who we know he can be. So, you know, that'll help things a little bit, but I don't know. Like, I'm growing more and more concerned. Like, Tate hasn't really been the guy that we hoped he'd be bouncing back, and we knew there'd be a little bit of curve there, but it kind of comes back to the same thing it is a little bit with Holiday. It's like, how long can we continue to kind of wear this before we need to do something about it? And obviously with Holiday having a ceiling, it's a different conversation. It's apples and oranges, but the kind of the attitude and the feeling behind it right now is like, this is a team that is very in a very competitive division with some, you know, we're going to be playing some bigger games here at some point. It's nice to get the bumps and bruises out of the way against some of the, not to put them down, but do we really expect the Kansas City Royals to be a above 500 team by September? Probably not. So I look at this Angels series and this Athletics series as a good 6-game stretch to start to kind of figure out some kinks. And then we got to be ready to roll against New York for that 4-game set. So
yeah. Still 1 game back of them, I think. I don't know if the Yankees are playing right now, if they already did or something like that, but they're, you know, still 1 game back. So steadily just kind of trying to hang in the mix here, which is kind of, that's how it was last season. They had to, they really had to hang in there with them. And ultimately they hung in long enough and they pulled away. But yeah, man, it's, with the current form here, it just feels a little erratic, and they're going to really need to tighten some stuff up, and they need reinforcements. Kyle Bradish went, I think, 60 or something pitches today down in Norfolk. It sounds like he's ramping up at a pace much quicker than I think we were even optimistic for, so that's nice to see.
Yeah, yeah, and eventually John Means will be in the mix too. That'll be a nice addition. So help is on the way on that front, and you can kick somebody down to the bullpen where maybe they can be a little more effective in a different type of role. So I'm not here to say there's not solutions out there in front of us. It's just, you know, these are the flags that if we're nitpicking, trying to figure out where the team has flaws, it's pretty easy to see right now.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, I guess going back to that first game, it was Mean Dean Kramer going for 5 2/3, 2 hits allowed, 3 earned runs, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. Like I said, in erratic performance. And I think a lot of the damage came, I mean, you know, he gave up some, but there was more damage that was given up after he was in there. Keegan Aiken with his worst outing of the year, like probably by far. It feels like that, you know, I don't want to say Linsanity run because he was really good for most of last year. But yeah, it feels like he's a little shaky, more shaky than we were used to. And then Dylan Tate, you mentioned him as well. Another rough one from him. And then Bauman just kind of closed things out. But yeah, that was a 9-4 loss. And really, it felt like the Royals were in control of that one for the most part. But ultimately, I mean, the big moment from that game was bases loaded. Adley Rutschman goes out there as a righty, smokes a grand slam, second homer of the year. And that was a huge moment. And that made the game, I think, 4-6 or maybe even 4-5. Yep. Royals would ultimately pull away with Salvador Perez, that big bastard who just loves to mash against the O's. I love Salvi. But I mean, man. He was a tough out this series. And yeah, he kind of closed things out for them there on Friday night. So yeah, that was a little bit of a washout of a game, but overall it was nice to see that grand slam from Adley. I feel like he's been lacking in power at the plate a little bit to start the year. Mm-hmm. That's not necessarily his MO anyway, but you know, it feels like I would have thought his pace for homers would be up a little bit more. So hopefully that adds some confidence that he can hit for power here moving forward.
Yeah, for sure. And that was pretty much the lone good at bat with a runners in scoring position. They were 2-for-10 in that game. They left 8 guys on base. Felt like they had left a lot of opportunities on the table. And when you get to that point in the game where it's 6-4 and it's, you know, you start to look at that, like that could have been a real difference maker, but of course it got away from us. Kramer though, his start was almost identical to Corbin Burns' start. I mean, the game score is actually, I think, the same. Game score 53. Each went 5 2/3 and gave up just a few hits and 3 runs. Kramer with a couple more walks, but I was just opening up Corbin Burns' game log, and I got kind of sidetracked. But that was just about the worst start he's had all year. I guess the one against Milwaukee was a little bit rougher, but man, just to put a pin in Corbin Burns. It's like, isn't that such a nice thing that if your guys' worst outing is going to be something like that, where we're able to go and get the win? 5-0, by the way, in all starts.
Yeah. Was that a win for him? Is he 4-0 now, or what's the deal with that?
He is. Gosh, sometimes they don't make it that simple. 3-0.
3-0.
He is 3-0.
Pretty solid. So. Yeah. Yeah, it's nice. Like, and you mentioned like they had identical stat lines basically, but it did feel different having him out there. It felt different because, like, you know, with Dean, we've seen him have some erratic performances in the past. That's really the word of the night here. But then you get the Clydesdale out there right after, and it just feels like it settles things down a bit. And really, it was smooth sailing until that 3-run shot that he gave up, and obviously they were able to handle it from there. Man, that was a long game too on Saturday. Mm-hmm. My God, these games have felt shorter and shorter with the new rules. But mm-hmm. Saturday was a long one. This one was a little bit of a longer one too, it felt like. But yeah, overall, just back to the original point. It's just such a nice like resetting of the table whenever you go a couple days without them, and then Corbin or Grayson gets in there. And you know, if nothing else, like you're going to have a really good shot to win that game.
100%. 100%. And then bringing this back to Kramer, for him to get a start like that, and honestly give his guys a pretty decent chance at getting it done. I think a couple of those runs were not even like given up with him on the field. They were inherited runs by Aiken, mm-hmm. Which honestly goes to show how bad he was, because he's only charged with 3, but he also, I think, allowed a couple inherited guys in. He's doing what you would hope he would do. I mean, I guess his ERA is only at about 5, but it was a pretty ugly game. That 6th inning was one where it was just like, okay, I guess we can turn it off now. And then Adley brought you back in and what have you. But it was a stinker, all things considered.
It was, yeah. And that was kind of the moment where they've had a lot of cardiac kid moments throughout the year. And that was kind of the one where it's like, is this going to be the one, you know, like you said, 6-4. And unfortunately, that very same inning, Royals go out there and score another 3 right in their face. So that kind of shut the door on that. But overall, yeah, solid series. They just get another series win, which is nice to see right after sweeping the Twins. So they're on a hot streak here, 5-1. They move to 14-7. Like I said, just a game back behind the Yankees. And like you said, they have them coming up on the calendar here for the first time. It feels like very late in the year to be playing the Yankees for the first time. I feel like they always get them earlier in the schedule, but it is what it is, and we will see what happens with that. But jumping into some segments, my dog of the series, I'm going to go with my guy Swervin Irvin. I mean, Bessie, who would have thought, like we said before the series, that he would have the best outing here of these 3 guys by far, and just a dominant performance by him today, and blank in the Royals. How about that? With this hot lineup, Bobby Jr. as the Royals broadcast crew continued to call Bobby Witt, and Salvi and Vinny, they just got all these names for these guys, and it was kind of irking me after a certain point. So good to see Swervin Irvin go out there and put a good one together, and continue to vie for that spot in the rotation. It's really not a given at this point. One of these guys is going to have to go, if not multiple of them, and he put together a good bullet point on the resume there for him today.
Yeah, I was going to go with Irvin as well. I'll pivot and go to Bauman. Him coming in and just 2 outings and not giving up any runs. It's just, you look at the rest of the bullpen and their stats, it's a bloodbath for just about everybody. He came out pretty clean, him and Kimbrel, of course. And if I had to pivot to somebody else, I'd probably go with Westberg. Had a hit in every game, had multiple hits in 2 of them, hit the bomb today. Kid just continues to hit and hit and hit. So,
yep, absolutely. So we can go to condiments now. I'm going to go with relish of the series, and my relish, just putting the unconventional spin on it, the thing that people don't necessarily think about. I'm just going to go with the entire order in that second inning, on what was that Saturday, 7 runs, like we said, hard hit balls, dribbling some through, blooping some over, hitting trick shots, doing the dude perfect bro sweet type thing. And, that really wound up being, not actually the difference in the game, because the Royals did score 7, but really set the tone for them. And ultimately they would come back and score 1 each in the 7th and the 8th. But that was a joyous inning to watch. It went like 30 minutes, and it got to the point where the Royals broadcast crew was like, man, huge inning, huge third inning coming up here for Corbin Burns. He's got to prove that, you know, sitting there for half an hour didn't get him too cold, and he's going to be able to come out now and, you know, be the regular Corbin Burns that we know. I was like, yeah, guys, we might be reaching for the bottom of the barrel on this one. But that second inning on Saturday gets my relish of the week.
Mm, 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 mm. My relish of the week is going to be Colton Cowser yeeting that ball into the drink. Yeah. Does that play?
Yeah, of course that plays.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're not going to talk about that, especially him just saying he yeeted the thing. I saw him do it, and I was like, oh, that's a move. Didn't see it splash or anything, but yeah, it sounds like he ate the trash there a little bit, and maybe Kimber wasn't so happy. Probably gave him noogies in the bullpen, or not the bullpen, the clubhouse. And made him go out and fetch that thing out.
He recovered it. I mean, he said he had to go dive in a little bit. I mean, talk about eating the trash. He had to stick that arm down into that, I would assume not the cleanest water in the world there at Kauffman Stadium, and fish that thing out. And, you know, all's well that ends well. He secured it in. So relish goes to the moon. Another great series for him, by the way, too, quietly. He was kind of the lead story here for the last couple of weeks. But, you know, feels like other things took center stage here. But he hits that home run today. And had a really nice throw the other night as well to third base to gun that guy out, which really stifled the Royals' momentum. So he just continues to develop into what might be an all-star player here. Still in the MVP race probably too, I would think.
Sitting 383 with a OPS over 1,100, pushing 1,200. Insane.
Pretty wild. The milkman.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going with Moon Man or Milkman?
Did you say Moon Man?
Moon Man.
Oh, Moo Man. I think Milkman is stuck.
Milkman is stuck. Okay.
Yeah.
What about when he hits a really long home run? Are we calling it a moon shot?
I'm here for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Was that all we got for this series?
Moo. Moo. That's what I got, I think.
Okay.
I mean, Gunnar Henderson played a good series. He went 0-for in the loss, but he did some Gunnar stuff. The walls. The walls in Kansas City are stupid. Did you see the one that Gunnar hit?
Yeah, I don't understand. It looks like a headrest.
John Dare hit one too. That was like, why is that little chunk of wall even there?
It looks like a headrest in a car, like sitting up on like the spindly little legs. I was like, what the
heck? There's no reason for that.
Yeah,
you literally have a wall that's even all around the stadium. Like, no, it just doesn't.
It's already a pitcher's ballpark. It's pretty big. Like, I don't know like what that's accomplishing.
I know. It's baffling.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, very bizarre, very bizarre. But okay, if that's all we got, I can get us on out of here. All right.
That's what we got.
All righty. Well, thank you, my friend, for joining me. Coming out of the bullpen, as it were. Got to get you on more of these things. I love to have that.
Yeah. I've been meaning to get on them.
I love that former player perspective. Just know what these guys are going through. Know what's going through their head. Nobody can speak to that on this crew better than you can. So thank you for hopping in here impromptu. Thank you for everyone who listened, and thank you for everyone who's listening after the fact on podcasts or YouTube, whatever your platform of choice is. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to us wherever you're finding it. On YouTube, you can subscribe to us. You can leave a comment under the video to help pump that algorithm and get our name out there a little bit. You can also find us on social media at Exit52 Podcast across the board. That's Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all that good stuff. I am at Jake Luke. That's LOUQUE. Brian is at Barstool Banks. Spenny is at Ravens 4 Dummies. That's the number 4 in the middle there. Eric is at EDITTI22. And you can find Taylor at TaylorSmythe10. Until the next series recap, until the next episode, whatever it might be, we will talk to you guys later.
Wednesday afternoon.
Love it.